Welcome to PostStatus Draft, the official podcast for PostStatus, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today, Joe and I discuss WordPress and the enterprise, starting with a discussion about what the heck the enterprise even is. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the PostStatus Club multiple times per week. Check out our current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining more than 500 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today, I'd like to feature one of our partners, iThemes. iThemes has a full suite of excellent products to help you level up your WordPress website. They just released Backup Buddy 7.0 with Backup Buddy Stash Live, a tool that allows you to back up your website in real time as your changes happen. Check out all of iThemes' products at iThemes.com. And thanks to the team at iThemes for being a PostStatus partner. Now, here's our show. Hey, everybody. I'm Brian, and I'm the editor of PostStatus.
And I'm Joe, a co-founder and the CTO of HumanMate. And welcome to the PostStatus Draft podcast. And this week we're going to be talking about WordPress in the enterprise. Whatever that may mean.
Not the Starship.
Not the Starship. Though that could be, maybe that would be more, it might be more fun.
That one's easier to define what the enterprise is than the enterprise in
That's probably true, actually.
Web consulting.
Though having said that, I'm not really up there on my Star Trek. I'll probably accidentally make Star Wars references.
We better steer clear of that. We'll get in trouble.
Exactly.
I have a feeling there's probably some nerd overlap in PostStatus Draft listeners and Star Trek and Star Wars
fans. Could well be. Yeah, I kind of feel like I should know more about those things, but I haven't even seen that new movie.
I haven't either. Yeah. We're losing our nerd credit.
I feel like we're probably the most unique podcast now because we haven't had a whole episode talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, we'll have to spend the next 59 minutes earning our nerd credit back by talking about WordPress. So, as we've already hinted, the enterprise is one of those things that people like to talk about, and there's a little bit of a fuzzy definition of even what it is.
It's a bit like the cloud or big data.
Big data. Is there a enterprise to butt Chrome extension yet? Like the cloud one? Have you seen that?
I have seen that, yeah. That is that definitely came up in somebody in HumanMate has it, and it was some client interaction. I think they were like sharing their screen or something.
Awesome. So
anyway,
yeah, if you just look up the definition of enterprise, it's just a company. So HumanMate, however, you market in this area a bit, like you do WordPress for the enterprise. So how do you guys define the enterprise?
Yeah, we do say that. It might be worth qualifying that I'm not the
you're not the marketer.
I'm not a marketer, but I do broadly know.
Are we going to get you in trouble with Tom again?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm just defending myself ahead of time. it's a thing, right? You know, it's a meme at this point, I think. WordPress in the enterprise. People have talked about this before, so it's something that we definitely mention on our website and things. But what we kind of mean by it is working with typically large companies that are somewhat entrenched with corporate bureaucracy and things like that. That's kind of what I think of anyway. And the reason we kind of market to that comes with its own set of challenges and things like that. So companies that either self-identify as being enterprise or just kind of know a lot of the baggage that comes with. That's why we kind of have that specific marketing there, really. Mm.
Yeah, you even have HumanMate highlights on your WordPress VIP page. One of them is experienced with enterprise.
There we go.
a company that you would consider like you're working with in the enterprise, kind of that classical company, you know, like old school, the type of company that somebody would work for 35 years and they've got a big IT department that.
Right, and it's all like waterfall kind of approach,
yeah.
And a lot of layers of management, a lot of layers of job titles, and hierarchy like that.
And in those types of scenarios, you know, the code might not be the first part of the conversation.
Oh yeah,
probably
absolutely.
Not even in the first couple of things. It's more about like, where's our, who's going to own this and how are we going to roll this out? And who's going to be involved in the decision-making process?
Discussion of the development is really way down the line. Whereas I think if you're in a, I don't know, let's say you're in a startup or something, or relatively modern company, let's say, then things are often like come from development first, because you've got much more constricted resources and time, and you just kind of want to get something working, try it out, do a prototype kind of thing. Enterprise kind of stuff doesn't often work that way so much. It's a lot more top down. Let's do a, you know, 1 year of discovery on what can be our new platform, and then we'll do, you know, 50-page RFPs for get tenders and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it takes a huge amount of time until you actually get to talk about development. And I think that can be a bit of a detriment sometimes, because your selection for who you're working with and things like that, and all of your processes are not made from technology first often. But I don't know. I guess there must be, you know, there are merits to it, because when you've got an organization that's huge and entrenched like that, then there are processes to go through that are there for a good reason often.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to say working with the enterprise means it's going to be stuffy and boring and terrible companies. They could be great companies and they could be exciting places to work, but it's just where there's probably more hierarchy. And definitely a lot more technologies where you have to integrate stuff. So you're not just building probably a one-off WordPress website that doesn't have any considerations of anything else. You're probably fitting it into a whole array of different stuff going on in that company's technology stack.
Yeah, exactly. Because I guess these companies accumulate different technologies and ways of doing things throughout their existence. And when you have a company that is, you know, 40, 50 years old, and it has, it's been through the age of technology, right? So they've got systems that are still written in crazy old languages and you know, databases that still have manual access and things like that. You have to be able to fit into everything if you're going to kind of come in and say, okay, it's time to get rid of all of your technology. We're going to replace it by the latest and greatest stuff. That's probably not going to happen.
And there's a lot of different types of work that an agency that's doing primarily WordPress stuff might be requested to do in those types of environments. However, I would guess the most common would actually be more marketing or campaign-driven websites that fit within their ecosystem, rather than something that's really driving a lot of their back-end technology.
In my not huge experience, I would say like it's often the case of you're really trying, or as an external consultancy company, you're probably kind of tiptoeing around the IT department and trying to not get involved with them as much as possible. And maybe you're instead got your channel of communications with the marketing department, and they don't want to have anything to do with the IT department either. for some reason, you know, corporate IT is so entrenched that other parts of the company often just don't want to get them involved, because it can easily kind of just lead into years time frames to get anything done and things. So we've definitely had a few situations where it's like, what can we do on our own with the marketing department and not step on any toes? Like, we're not having access to vital company details, or not storing customer information or something, so we don't have to go through that bureaucracy.
Yeah, so they could be coming to you specifically to sidestep the traditional paths that take too long, cost too much money, and require too much you know, documentation of what's happening almost.
Right. Like in some situations, obviously, those checks and balances there for a purpose. But when you're in a marketing department and you want to move quickly and you just want like a quick, simple, you know, website to showcase some event that you've got coming up or something, then you're not probably going to want to get your, you know, large IT team involved with that.
Yeah. I've only worked in a few scenarios where I mean, like a less than two handfuls, I guess, a number of projects where I walk into a big organization and we're going to be part of something. However, what's been basically true across the board in those scenarios for me is that even though their reasoning may be they want to move fast and they want to sidestep a lot of this traditional, these traditional roadblocks that they deal with, to us, who's used, like when we were used to working with smaller groups of people on, you know, more focused projects, or like it, their web, that we were doing their website and it was their whole branding, like that was everything. They didn't have all these other considerations.
Right.
This enterprise type of project, when we walked in that company, even though it was fast to them, it was slow to us. Do y'all run into that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, it does depend on, you know, project by project. But as a slight kind of tangent, but I think worth saying before is though that we say that, you know, we have experience with WordPress in the enterprise, and definitely a lot of other WordPress agencies too do similar. I think we're still all very not enterprise-y compared to an enterprise consulting firm. So therefore, when we come in to do a project or something, we're still looking to bring a lot of that agility that you have from being a smaller, less entrenched company to doing that project. And there is a bit of a clash there between their general expectations. And I guess in some cases, we're trying to educate them in certain ways to say, no, it doesn't need to be quite this serious. You can, you know, we can just launch half of the website and then we can iterate as we go, and we can do a deployment every 2 days and that's still going to be okay. Whereas maybe they're used to, you know, a release a month and the website goes down for a half an hour while you do that, and an email gets sent around to everybody in the company to say, we're going to have a release and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So though we're billing ourselves of being able to work in the enterprise, then we're still bringing a lot of the, I'm not exactly what, sure the best way to term it, but just that kind of small company mentality of let's kind of iterate and build quickly and move quickly, because that kind of creates the best results.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what are examples of, in your mind, beyond a, say, like a marketing subsite, because I think that's the most common. It's from a end result, it's going to be similar to what a lot of people doing WordPress work know.
Right. Like the type of work that's actually not going to be.
It's just in a different environment. But I want to get beyond that and talk about what some applications of WordPress are that truly do integrate into more of the core stack of big companies. So, do you have any examples? Or the type of project that you think WordPress has a strong footing in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I think WordPress generally is a very good hub rather than something on the side. And I know that with the REST API stuff, there's been a lot of talk of just WordPress being part of a bigger system. But I actually think it provides quite a good centralized point for other things to plug into.
And that's because of the free things you get, like users and...
Yeah, and the fact, maybe the fact that WordPress is, you know, it's got a nice admin interface to orchestrate even other things from. Mm-hmm. And also WordPress doesn't have any specialization, really. It's quite general. So if you want to specialize in something, maybe you'll use a different system, but integrate into that. So projects that I think that fits well for enterprise stuff can be... intranet stuff, definitely. I know that Web Dev Studios did some pretty good stuff with Starbucks, I think, around some internal networks and things like that. So I think it has a good place there. I think as in my experience, as we've built WordPress sites that aren't just a marketing site. So we do like the primary site or something for enterprise. The more they use it, the more they're going to try and have more things flow through it and for it to be a more ingrained part of their technology. So once they have their main site, you know, not some random marketing site running through it, then they realize that they want to, I don't know, allow everybody access. So then you do some single sign-on integration or something like that. Or they also want to integrate it with their email campaigns or something like that. So getting a foot in the door of being, you know, anything that is more integral, like their corporate site, or something that is providing internal use or something, that's going to actually get the people, you know, day to day working in the company actually using it. And WordPress is totally a foot in the door piece of software. As soon as people start using it, they enjoy it. They never really know ahead of time that it's the right direction, but just the feedback they typically get is, oh, this is fast and it's easy to use and it's simple. And then you can keep bolting on parts from there. Mm.
But I've done.
You want more specificity?
No. I like where you're at with that. I do agree. The first thing that comes to my mind, as far as like what's a good place for people to experiment, is to build a intranet. Intranets are funny in the corporate world because, you know, you have like Microsoft solutions and some other ones, and a lot of times they're user based and these other things, and their licensing is insane. So you can propose a WordPress centric intranet in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be several million dollars of licensing fees through Microsoft or somebody else. And you get a lot more flexibility usually if you're doing an intranet with WordPress, but in the sense of like how you can design and structure the intranet versus like the old like folder system, kind of janky setup that some of the traditional intranet systems are in. I've been involved in a couple of intranet projects like that as well, and it seems like the people that we've worked with have been happy with from an intranet standpoint with WordPress. And you talked a little bit about bolting on new things with it. I think WordPress has also been fairly successful in the publishing department as a specific vertical where it can do a good job. But what's interesting is it's not always a preferred tool for some of these companies. So it's like they're using it, but it's not like they're going all in on it.
Right, right. Yeah, there's not kind of that level of excitement that maybe, I don't know what technology providers do have that in the enterprise space, but I feel like if Microsoft come out with something, they do a great job of, you know, if it's something that's marketed to enterprise, then like people do really get excited about this internally in companies. Like, this new product is going to come along and it's going to solve all of our problems. This is what it does. This is the problems it solves. WordPress doesn't have that. First of all, it doesn't have anybody really championing that to much of a degree, but the product isn't really built for them or anything. So it's more, like you say, it just kind of probably happens to get used for some reason or another, and usually gets to build ground on that because people do then kind of go on and enjoy it. But it's not a, it's typically anyway, not a technology first decision of we need WordPress in our enterprise because that's solving all the problems in the rest of the business world.
Yeah, they just happen to realize they get a lot of stuff cheaply. And
yeah, it's pretty much down to budgets, I think, in a lot of cases.
So a couple of examples that come to mind, especially from a publishing industry, are the New York Times and the Washington Post. Both of these organizations have proprietary content management systems that have kind of gone in waves of being useful and then becoming sluggish, which I think is what you might expect from a proprietary system, because, you know, when it's brand new, it's new technology, and then as you bolt stuff onto it and you adjust it and you time goes on and there's more people working on other technologies.
Internet Explorer 6 was like the best browser ever.
Right. And eventually you just have, you know, you have fewer people working on it than you do have working on an open source system. So while WordPress is, and even any open source content management system, they're probably rarely going to be the shiniest thing on the block because they're just kind of constantly iterating and trudging along. And what has happened in some organizations is all of a sudden their system gets a little dated and they haven't put the resources into it to make it be as flexible and nimble as WordPress could be. So then they ended up using WordPress for certain things.
Right.
The New York Times did this in order to reduce the speed or to reduce the amount of time it took them to publish. So like publishing with their proprietary CMS used to maybe take 15 minutes or something. And when they started using WordPress for some blogs. And I think there's a great post on Neiman Lab about the history of blogs at the New York Times. When they introduced it, it was like, you know, seconds before you could publish. And it really lowered the barrier to getting something on the web. And they were able to cover breaking news stories really well. And then they just started moving more and more blogs to WordPress. But now they're kind of seeing the reverse trend where their proprietary CMS Scoop is getting better. They've invested a lot of money and time into it, and they have other advantages of having stuff in Scoop. So they're slowly dumping their blogs. I just saw they're getting rid of the Bits blog recently. So they had some dozens of blogs, and now they have fewer than half of those remaining as they've moved them back. And it's just interesting to see the way that they kind of have this on again, off again relationship with something like WordPress.
Well, I think that is typical of those decisions that they make around, you know, we've now got this new system that's really good and we're investing a lot in it. The problem I see with that, I get the impression that the mentality is that we'll build something really good and it'll be done. And that's what we use. And then we've got a really solid technology stack, right, and we're set up for the future. But like, as we know, like, nothing in technology is ever done. It is, you know, 6 months time there's something new that needs to be done. So if they're investing incredibly heavily now, that might be great, but they are definitely going to need to invest heavily in it forever to come also. And I think often things just aren't budgeted that way. So yes, we've managed to clear, you know, X million dollars to make our internal CMS the best thing in the world. But 1 year down the line, now it's the 10th best. And 2 years down the line, it's starting to feel, you know, clunky. Whereas WordPress is continually evolving by the companies that are contributing and individuals that are contributing to developing it. So you kind of have more of a peak and trough approach, I think, with the monolithic kind of in building your own internal thing or developing a finished product, whereas it's good for a little amount of time, but then it goes down and you've got to do it again. I see the philosophy of WordPress just to be very different to that.
And so, yeah, and it kind of frustrates me because no one's really gone, or not no one, but like one of these huge names hasn't gone all in on WordPress, yet you've seen countless organizations, Reuters is one that comes to mind, that have spent millions, like maybe hundreds of millions of dollars on proprietary technology that eventually failed.
Right.
I don't know how many news articles I've read of like media blogs covering the media where they then say like, so they ended up using WordPress as a stopgap. And it's crazy to me. It's like no one's taking.
It's like when will they turn around and realize this thing that's always been there for them?
Right.
It's actually kind of better than anything that they're able to do.
WordPress core committer Scott Taylor works at the New York Times, and he's talked about WordPress pretty openly in this regard. And how they approach it at the New York Times is for them, it's something that's there, it's on the table. It's not where they would want to be, but a lot of times it's the easiest and fastest way to get something. And it could be something like he's used the example of like date queries, just as a simple example. It was going to be a huge project in Scoop or that was going to take multiple developers, many weeks or whatever, and it's built into WordPress. And so therefore they built, it's called First Draft. It's basically their prime political, you know, hour-to-hour blog on the New York Times, and it's built in WordPress, and Scott did it probably by himself or with one other person or something, like super quickly. I'm pretty sure that the New York Times in Spanish is also built in WordPress, and it's like, it's in WordPress for now because, you know, it was quick, but 2 or 3 years from now, Scoop will be ready to do that. It's like, eventually they want it in Scoop, but right now it's fine for WordPress.
Well, I think that the New York Times was kind of all in on WordPress at one point because they invested in Automattic and things, you know, several years ago. I thought I might be wrong in this, but I kind of thought that they were it was looking like they were actually going to do what we're saying, right? Take WordPress, and this is going to be our technology. We're going to contribute to the open source project, and that is a plan for longevity. Whereas it somewhat seems, from an outside perspective anyway, that, yeah, that isn't happening anymore. We've changed direction. WordPress can, you know, we'll use it for what, you know, we can't do in the meantime, but we're not going to be looking in that direction longer term.
Yeah, and I don't think the New York Times was ever all in on WordPress, like it was going to be the core of their stack, but it was, at one point, right. I think it was an accepted part of their stack, whereas now it seems more like it's a backup plan, or it's right. a temporary stopgap. And one of the things that I've heard, and I'm not meaning to talk just about the New York Times, it's just a very visible example. One of the things I've heard from a lot of companies, or from in multiple scenarios, Neiman Lab does a great job covering this type of stuff, by the way. They get quite CMS-y, which is fun for a organization that's primarily about journalism. But right. you know, the CMS and the journalism are so intertwined now. And that's exactly what they've spoken about. And I've also heard people in the WordPress world that work in publishing companies say this, where these publishing companies don't feel valuable just for their content as their product. And more of them are wanting to be technology companies. Mm. And to be a technology company, you have to have some central API or central base with your with your actual proprietary technology in order to have value.
Yeah, that's an interesting analysis, I guess, in that I'm not sure if it's that they don't maybe I'm misunderstanding you wrong, but you're kind of saying that they don't just trust that they just have the good content, so they also want other things to make their offering unique, I guess.
Yeah, and they see – well, take – so Quartz is a fun example. One, because Quartz actually has WordPress at the core of a lot of what they do.
Right.
But it's not what they're limited to. And they've been – I'm pretty sure they even have posts about where they say, like, Quartz is an API. Like, that's how they define what Quartz is. But it's a business news website. It's a part of the Atlantic, and the Atlantic actually has a whole nother – you know, proprietary CMS, but Quartz started nimbly, moved quickly, and kind of operated outside of the Atlantic's traditional system and built this very impressive bit of technology. And at least the publishing perspective was mostly built around the WordPress.com REST API.
That's a very interesting example because, like, Quartz are doing really well, I think.
They are.
I'll visit Quartz. I actually don't really like the write on Quartz very much, but the technology is really good.
See, so. They were going to share this podcast until you said that.
we can bleep that bit out, Sean.
Yeah.
They are still used as, I mean, we're obviously in the technology space, so I think any mention of Quartz to us is probably more going to be around their technology than their writing and things. But they definitely are doing great in that regard. And I'll definitely probably anyway sooner go to a Quartz page than some super ad heavy kind of slow to load, New York Times corporate site article. And that's based off around the technology. So maybe that is a big enough.
Yeah. So there it's literally a quote. So it says Quartz is an API, and it's, you know, the path ahead for the business site that's reshaping digital news. And where they get that from is they're not just publishing content to a website. Having an API-centric setup allows them to essentially go wherever the reader is. So it could be the website. It could be the newsletter, which their newsletter is great, and it's powered from the same central space.
Mm.
They just came out with this, like, text-driven smart mobile app. So, like, you kind of a Siri-style interaction with it, and you're like, hey, what's going on in business today? And Quartz is like, oh, you know, somebody's burning oil or, you know, whatever. and it's like, oh, really? Like, show me more. And it, like, sends you three Quartz articles about it or whatever. And it's kind of amazing what they're doing with it.
But I'd say that that's not really in, they're saying Quartz these, the API isn't, I don't think is a new thing. If you look at like, you know, News International or something, or other really large companies like that, they already have and probably always have had this approach of one centralized repository of all of their content syndicated to thousands of different places. I just don't think they're as good at implementing those, you know, syndication channels like, you know, the idea for the Quartz up there.
Yeah.
But they still have these, you know, they're still thinking in terms of we've got a content API. I think the news one has, you know, several million objects in it at least. Mm-hmm. They use that to power everything. So I think that approach, though Quartz are doing it in a WordPress first way, it's more a modern take on it because it's a simple to use API and they get to use WordPress to edit everything. So it's super quick to publish things, you know, all of that kind of stuff. The core idea there probably isn't a new thing.
Yeah, I think Quartz is making it a part of their internal like goals and philosophies. Like if it's some, they're probably looking at things like how does this fit into Quartz as an API? You know, like how do we fit this into our system? Mm-hmm. But they're also just it's helping value them as a product. I think like if they were going to go for sale, like these would all be nice articles to have about you, like the way.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. Like everybody wants to be the new cool.
Right. So I think it makes them a more valuable product if they were to be sold, which I understand that might be the case. But more to the point, WordPress can fit into a system like this. Like WordPress can be a central part of some company's technology stack, but there really hasn't been, to my knowledge, a company that goes so in on WordPress that then they send people back to developing WordPress. Because aside from consulting companies like, you know, HumanMade or 10Up, y'all are working with people and then your influence on the core project can reap benefits for you because you're taking you're taking situations where you hit some limit in WordPress and then you're able to go to core and be like, hey, we had 7 million comments on one blog post. Like, we should figure that out. Like, how it could handle that. And then somehow that gets fixed in core. But there hasn't really been a company, and I think this is actually an opportunity for a company that's a little scary but also kind of exciting. What if a big corporation with a lot of money said, we're going to spend $100 million on making WordPress one of our core systems, and that's going to require us to have 10 developers full-time working on WordPress core to help influence the project? Could you imagine the amount of influence 10 full-time developers could have?
It would be – right. Yeah, I'm not – I think there's a few things to unpack there. One is that either your large corporation that is choosing what their next 5 years or 10 years of tech, you know, core is going to be. So either you're competing with very expensive off-the-shelf licensed systems where they're expecting to maybe spend $10 million still, but they're expecting just to pay somebody that $10 million. They don't. It's not $10 million of their effort that they have to improve the product that they're being provided with. The other thing you might be competing with is they think that they can do better, so they're going to build something from scratch. But I don't know how fashionable that is these days or not exactly. Whereas if you take WordPress and most, you know, due to the reputation that it has and, you know, somewhat of that is true, is not a battle-tested, made-for-enterprise piece of software. And there's definitely a kind of fixer-upper kind of attitude towards it. Now, when you couple that with WordPress has no official voice in the enterprise or really anywhere else, has no, you know, nobody you can employ that is technically WordPress or can provide technically a WordPress SLA, and you have a very open, you know, process for people that contribute. You could hire 10 developers and none of the code that they ever write would ever make its way into WordPress if they weren't doing the right things or they weren't talking to the right people. You know, it's way too uncertain, I would say, to do that right now, because you've got to have such a nuanced piece of knowledge of how the WordPress project works. How can you actually contribute to it in a meaningful way and things like that? Like the WordPress agencies, it's taken them quite a long time, I would think, or as I maybe should say, to get up to speed with, you know, what is the best way to employ people to help out, and how can that give you influence or improve the product in the way that you want to? I just can't imagine an total outsider CTO that is having to choose between all of the different technology out there to have anywhere enough time to understand the nuance kind of required right now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm not saying it's a realistic scenario. I'm just saying...
I'm not sure even if it would be... Like, I'm not sure I could make the case for that even being a good idea. Like,
yeah, because you can't... The first thing that happens, if you say... if you go tell the lead developers of WordPress, hey, we're going to send 5 people to work full-time on WordPress, they'd probably be like, wow, awesome. But they'd also say, but, you know... This doesn't mean you just get your changes that help your company to go into core WordPress. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee of that. So it's, you don't really get promised anything. I hear what you're saying with that.
Right. And if you go and choose to build your internal CMS, then you do have those choices. For better or worse, you get to build things the way that you think that they should be. And contributing to an open source project, that isn't true.
I think one of the reasons maybe... we haven't seen anything like that is because WordPress has only been a serious contender in this type of situation for a few years.
Right.
And the people that are knowledgeable enough about WordPress to say, look, WordPress could be a serious contender to be the core part of someone's core technology stack. Those people that have that a deep enough understanding haven't been senior enough within any organization to be able to make that call. So there's always someone above their head that they may be able to tell their direct boss, like, hey, WordPress could be pretty good for something like this, but like that never gets high enough to actually make the call.
Maybe that's a time thing. Maybe we just need the people that are currently, you know, I think if you look at WordPress, like the WordPress contributors are incredibly young. Like it's really quite odd. But maybe as, you know, people get older and more experienced in senior positions, then we'll see WordPress make more headway in that regard. Because right now I just don't see an outsider, as it were, being able to make, you know, have enough confidence that this is, you know, worth, you know, essentially kind of just to some degree betting your company on. Like if you screw up your 10-year technology plan, like it's not looking good for you.
But that doesn't stop people from screwing up their 10-year technology plans with proprietary stuff.
That's very true.
I just think if people can, they put the entire burden on their own team, then they have more direct control of their fate. Versus if they're putting it on a piece of open source software.
Yeah, and control is like a huge thing in large companies.
Yeah. However, you know, Drupal has had a lot of success in this area. And I wonder if Acquia's position, like they really position themselves as a huge enterprise consultant, and they do sell themselves as like, hey, Acquia and Drupal and Drupal and Acquia, they are more of the same thing than the way Automattic positions themselves. And as a community member, I'm thankful for that Automattic doesn't quite position themselves that way.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it's safe to say that Acquia and Drupal do have a closer tie in terms of how you view it from an enterprise standpoint.
Oh, definitely. Like, you can kind of feel like the product vendor is working for you in Drupal. And you don't really get that in WordPress, though we've, you know... We've had clients where we've, you know, had to say WordPress does not have a company that you can employ, but we have people that work on the project and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same. But you're right that Drupal is definitely doing a better job. I don't think anybody would dispute that. Drupal is doing a better job in the enterprise, but I still don't think they're doing. I still think that it's pretty small compared to people that are using, you know, other enterprise first products from Microsoft and HP and stuff like that. I still think they're kind of the underdog and everything. So I don't know. I'm sure WordPress could learn a lot and have better representation in the enterprise, like Acquia gives Drupal. But I think there's still a long way for Drupal to go to overcome the other monoliths in the space.
So Drupal might be able to laugh at WordPress for its enterprise, position, but all the other big systems are laughing at Drupal.
Yeah, like I would be surprised if Drupal is ever looked at as a serious contender in what we're talking about, right? The core technology for a big enterprise. I'm sure the majority of times WordPress is discussed and considered to some degree. Like they're at least mentioned. But probably losing out. But I think in the majority of the whole industry, then WordPress or Drupal are not looked at.
So how do you think, in an enterprise context, how do you think WordPress could be more attractive?
So one thing that has been discussed somewhat is having some kind of enterprise voice for WordPress. So exactly what that would be, I don't know, but some kind of organization that is there to present the somewhat unbiased information in the language that enterprise expects and speaks. Right now, it isn't that. It's compared to enterprise, it's a consumer product. And Acquia is doing that for Drupal. Automatic is not doing that for WordPress, really. I think, Automatic is primarily a consumer, B2C company. So if there were some organization or something to give WordPress a fair shout, I guess, on at the enterprise table, as it were, that would be very valuable. And I know that stuff like this is somewhat being discussed. Maybe what it would do is provide white papers and things like that. Presentations for people to give internally to maybe dispel some of the myths about WordPress and things like that. That may go a long way compared to at least what it has now. But for it to really, if we're wanting a scenario that WordPress is, taking enterprise by storm, then I'm not sure what it would take to get to that point. I guess I don't really know enough to know what that would be.
There is a new blog on make.wordpress.org/marketing where that is kind of the goal. So it's at least some people, and right now it seems primarily to be led by Sarah Rosso, who works at WordPress VIP. But still, it's at least a tiny little step to say, here's a venue where we can at least have these conversations about marketing WordPress more generally.
Right. It's definitely a step in the right direction. I think we need that. We need that and probably a lot more in the long run. But I'm sure, Sarah seems like a great person to be heading that up. And I, as far as I know, then we have people at HumanMade that want to get involved with that as well, to, both write material and also, provide feedback from, literal meetings and how that stuff actually plays out and goes.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. So say you're having a meeting with an enterprise company. So I hate this. Let's say you're having a meeting with Disney. Okay. Mm-hmm. Disney is a humongous company and, they have so many sub brands, ABC, Fusion, ESPN. There are so many companies that are Disney. It's actually funny because of the VIP development partners and really most big WordPress agencies, it seems like all of y'all have some sort of Disney logo on your website. So I like using them as an example. And when you have a meeting with Disney, say WordPress comes up as an option or a solution, obviously a lot of different departments of Disney have embraced WordPress for something or another.
Yeah.
On the high end, you have a website like Fusion that is completely built off of WordPress. On the lower end, you might have like some marketing sub-site type of thing. Another example is like 538 or Grantland were ESPN sub-brands that were completely WordPress. But obviously, broadly, Disney hasn't embraced WordPress as like some core platform.
Right. Yeah, and I guess that is similar to what we were talking about earlier, with it just kind of popping up in these places as people need things. And but I'm not sure what it means for Disney to have a core platform or not, because I don't know what their current stuff is. I don't know.
Go.com.
Right.
Like getting literally, when you go to... Actually, this looks like it might be on WordPress, if you go to go.com. It looks like the WordPress Disney sites that I've built, because I've worked on Disney sites that are like little sub brands, but it was Disney. Mine was Disney Publishing when I was at Range. So it's just ridiculous. They have so many brands, but they do have some underlying software. But the bigger point is, like, you're working to propose some project for Disney, and it seems like they're relatively agnostic towards the technology they use. They want to solve a problem, but I know for a fact, like, if you get Disney IT involved, they're going to have questions about how you're going to handle certain things with WordPress. How are you going to handle security? How are you going to handle deployments? How are you going to handle verification of this or that? You know, like, WordPress, how are you going to handle being at scale? They want to know the answers to those types of questions. So how can we broadly... provide resources to give consulting companies that are in these types of meetings the resources they need to be able to answer those questions well?
Yeah, good question. I would say, use cases, example use cases that are, a case study that is actually written for this purpose. The language that it uses. So, I don't know, maybe some, maybe web dev studios write a case study on how they did X, Y, or Z, and it's written in a fashion that is not, this is, the custom post type we used or whatever, but it's just kind of it's a bit more geared towards abstract systems. Kind of things. Right, exactly. Because though like go.com, maybe WordPress, I don't know if it is or not, but this is all still quite superficial stuff. Like, when somebody wants to build the system that handles the Disney catalog internally or something, I don't know. Maybe, like, this is the areas that WordPress would be used as very core piece of technology, rather than just, displaying their brand on a page or something. When it comes to that kind of stuff, it's usually incredibly specific, and I don't think you're going to get a case study that exactly aligns up with whatever thing their business does. The best way, defense it or attack, maybe, for approaching that and getting WordPress to have a fair shot at it, is just going to be being able to use the philosophy of WordPress and how people develop with it, how you can find talent that uses it, how it's been proven to scale to very large systems, how the security stuff is actually very good, and all of that. Just being able to use all of those points to apply to different situations is probably going to be more valuable than this is somebody that's specifically integrated with your single sign-on platform or something. But it's broad, it's difficult. Like, I think when you're when you've got your HP salesman or whatever that is also in the room, it's not. It's really a sales process for your technology, and I don't think there is a specific document that you're going to be able to provide for that. You're just going to have to know what kind of stuff they're worried about, and supposedly how your system is going to be able to handle or take or help them with that. I think maybe just there's it's not so much about WordPress, the technology, it's more about who is the person that is selling it. And again, like the whole of WordPress is so broad that there's definitely going to be a good amount of people that are really good at doing that. I think, you know, TenUp have really good people doing that. That's why they're able to do the amount of work that they do.
I think you bring up another good point, too, when you're talking about sales, is there's only so many salespeople a consulting company can have, whereas big, you know, huge companies like Microsoft can employ hundreds of salespeople for a single product.
Right. And you can also, you know, there's the other side of large business, which is the more, you know, going out and golfing and taking people to clubs and things like that, that we're not really coming from the point of, you know, but these traditional sales process for this kind of stuff is very old school, I guess.
Did you watch Silicon Valley on HBO?
I certainly did.
You did? So their little Pied Piper company, this was one of the episodes, and it's a legit thing where they had the technology and they had the capability, and then someone ripped off their product and also had 30 salespeople pitching a inferior product, but actually getting in front of people to help make the decisions and, you know, getting it out there. And that gave them a huge advantage, and they had and Pied Piper had no salespeople.
Right.
So it didn't really matter necessarily that their technology was better or that they were capable, but they just weren't in front of executives, and they didn't have a sales team that was going to be able to get them out there in the same way. And I feel like WordPress struggles with this.
Yeah, and I don't, like, that's not really part of, well, I don't know, it depends what we call WordPress. Like, WordPress core software doesn't really have any skin in that game, I think. WordPress agencies that want to do enterprise work right now are having to develop all of those skills and hire that talent internally, right? There's nobody that, there's no salesman for WordPress that you can, I don't know, pay money for to go and talk to somebody or something.
A general WordPress salesman?
Oh, right.
It sounds like an opportunity for me and you.
Maybe. Like when I have, because quite often I'll be, you know, brought into those kind of meetings. I'm one of the senior people, but I'm certainly not a salesperson, but I still have to come in with that angle very strongly, more than...
Yeah, you're pitching WordPress just as much as you're pitching human-made.
Right, exactly. And I just... Like we say, Drupal isn't, I don't think, doing a fantastic job of that either, and WordPress has a long way to go. So I'm not sure if there's no people that are kind of dedicated to doing this, then the best that WordPress consulting companies can do is, you know, just attempt to do that themselves, maybe band together to develop the material or whatever. But I'm not sure of the kind of silver bullet that it needs to be able to compete with the, you know, big sales team of another very large enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, most consulting agencies in the WordPress world, the ones that are working on bigger, more global clients, probably have maybe one salesperson, maybe two. And the company that I worked for, and most local companies have salespeople, but they're like, that's much more like taking a local lead and trying to go finish it. It really doesn't have much to do with selling the technology itself.
Right, right. And maybe WordPress is used in the very large consulting companies, and obviously we don't really hear about it because those are typically not part of the community or not showcasing what they're doing very often. Like there's a lot of consulting firms out there that have, you know, 1,200, 1,400 people and a very large sales team. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure there are some that are using WordPress, but I don't know about it being their kind of number one thing that they're making all their money and pitching off of. I think maybe would have heard about that by now.
But what, I mean, so let's try to summarize some of the status of WordPress in the enterprise. It's obviously a tool that for not every application, but a lot of applications, it's perfectly acceptable. Maybe in certain situations, it's a far superior tool than some of the enterprise solutions that exist, right? We can agree on that?
Yeah, I'd say so. With
as a basis, like you still...
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing, problem.
WordPress is never going to be enterprise ready out of the box.
Right, exactly. And people have to recognize that.
But I like the underscores theme because it says it's a 1,000-hour head start on building a theme or whatever, which is kind of, I don't quite see where 1,000 hours go in that. Anyway, but, you know, with WordPress, you do get a big head start to doing your own thing on it. And it's flexible enough to where you can turn it into a whole lot of different types of things. So WordPress can give a company a head start to get a lot of great functionality out of the box, but they'll still have to make a lot of effort to turn it into the solution that they're trying to create. Additionally, WordPress has a little bit of a marketing problem in the enterprise world because there's not any sort of dedicated attempt at marketing it for the enterprise like Microsoft can, right?
Right.
So
right.
Something we can agree on. Do you think that WordPress will get there? Like, is it a matter of time, or is it maybe just never going to be really WordPress's strong point?
I don't think it'll naturally get there. Definitely not. And I think it will. It may naturally get to 50% of the web. By that I mean without a very strong concerted effort. I don't think, you know, WordPress's great success has come from people discovering it, not people being sold it. And I'm not convinced that it will be kind of discovered for big enterprise stuff. I think it'll need a fairly strong driving force, either by, you know, lots of companies pushing bit by bit, or there being some spearheading approach to doing that. I just don't see it naturally getting to that point at all, ever.
So the way WordPress got popular, so you're saying WordPress will naturally grow with the long tail of the web. So people starting their first website or just looking for something out of the box and trying to get going, WordPress is a pretty obvious solution. That's why it's 60% of the CMS market share or whatever.
Right,
but that's
right.
Its power is in the long tail of the web currently. However, the way that started was literally Matt Mullenweg going to someone that was running the one WordPress stole from.
B2?
No.
Oh, the one it for.
The six apart CMS. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to edit. Movable Type.
Oh, right.
That's amazing. So
yeah,
WordPress
actually,
has such
true.
An impact. I couldn't even remember the name of Movable Type. But Matt Mullenweg would go to someone blogging on Movable Type and be like, hey, you should check out WordPress. And mixed with Movable Type making some really stupid decisions, WordPress exploded.
Right. Was able to capture it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that is a concerted effort. I think, that is a valid line of reasoning.
So if some person or organization gets enough of someone's ear in an enterprise organization, there's lots of companies in the, the S&P 500 is what we call it in the US. Me and you talked about this while we were in London, about like what big companies are. But, you know, like some big company or something, and like someone gets their ear and convinces the CTO to go all in on WordPress because of the inherent wins that you get, and build the rest of your stack on top of this, and send people to invest in WordPress. Like, is it possible that you sell one or two organizations to make WordPress central to their technology, and there's a waterfall effect of other people seeing that and being like, wow, we should take a look at this?
I think so, but it needs somebody to do that. And I'm not sure if Matt is that person to direct. Yeah, I don't think that Automatic is not, and even WordPress VIP isn't that kind of interested in entrenched enterprise and being part of the core business kind of approach. If somebody did that, yes, I could see that happening. I'm not ruling out the possibility. I'm just finding it difficult to imagine a scenario where that actually happens. And like, maybe I'll just, you know, maybe there is enough chances for that to happen that it'll just happen once, and you know, it's just a matter of time before a company decides to fully adopt it and, you know, support the project really well and talk about the fact that they're doing it and recommend it to, you know, other companies and things like that. Part of me wonders whether WordPress is actually good enough to do that, though. Like, I love WordPress and everything, but I'm very aware of a lot of
limitations,
and even now, you know, you can't take just WordPress out of the box, and I don't know. There's a lot of learning to do to get it to do what you want to do. You've got to do a lot of development with it. You've got to be happy to use PHP, which in itself is a, you know, a pretty big struggle for companies that are very kind of worried around security and things like that. See, there's a lot of uphill battles to get into this space, and I think like the current WordPress in the enterprise is really just kind of scratching at the surface with the low-hanging fruit around doing fairly superficial stuff with them.
I completely agree with you. I do think WordPress as a technology is big, but as a big influencer in the world of big companies, it's small. So this is just me screwing around. So there are some companies with lots and lots of money, right? And in the public markets, there's this concept of a takeover bid. So you have two public companies, and one does a takeover bid, a forced takeover of another company. So This happened with the beer companies, right? Like Budweiser and Miller, whoever the companies behind them were. They're these international companies. And like one literally did a forced takeover where they bought all the stock or enough, a controlling portion of the stock of another company, and therefore they took control of the company. Would it be possible for someone that sees WordPress as a threat to take Microsoft, okay? Microsoft has billions of dollars, and they see WordPress as a CMS, as a threat to some of their products, and maybe they see a way that they can do something with WordPress that helps them be profitable, and they still, you know, WordPress would stay open source, obviously, because it's from a copyright perspective, it has to. Oracle did this with MySQL, sort of, right? So what if Microsoft...
Yep, true.
What if Microsoft bought Automattic and bought the top 15 consulting firms and created a big consulting firm and then turned WordPress, like, consulting into a little portion of their business, and it was a CMS that was just part of their portfolio, and it was like the open source version, and you know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's nothing stopping them from doing that. I mean,
there's nothing stopping them from doing it, but it wouldn't make any sense.
Why not?
Because well, it depends what they wanted to do with it. If we're talking about enterprise still, and they would buy it and everybody that is in it to make it the enterprise product that we're talking about, they would have to pay way over the odds, because Automattic is valued based off of consumer people, and that's not what they want. And the whole product, really, the 25% of the web is relatively consumer compared to what they would want to do with it. So I just, they'd be having to pay so much for a pretty shoddy code base that the value of WordPress is in the community and everywhere, the 25% of the web that is used, right, that long tail. It just wouldn't make sense to me for them to want to take that and turn it into an enterprise offering and do that with it.
Sure.
Maybe if they wanted, for whatever reason, they want to control, to some degree, 25% of the web, that's probably worth a lot, and maybe they would do it for that reason, to have somehow just ownership or maybe influence just on that huge amount of long tail.
Yeah, I mean, so you could influence WordPress core development with a multi-million dollar investment. Like, it doesn't take that much to influence WordPress core development. It just takes people to get involved.
Yeah.
But if you're going to buy a, I know we're in conspiracy theory land. I love it. If you're talking about acquiring Automattic, that's when you get into billions of dollars of an investment. But by acquiring Automattic,
you've also got to acquire Matt Mullenweg. Like, acquiring Automattic doesn't actually really give you very much,
except WordPress.com and, you know, some revenue.
Right, I don't think that would have an influence on 25% of the web. That no. Automattic doesn't actually have a strong influence on that.
Correct. I mean, WordPress.com and Automattic and all their tools, that just gets you the, like, this is...
Right, let's presume that you buy the whole influence of the force that is Automattic and Matt Mullenweg and Audrey.
Right, so that's a big piece of the pie of getting what you want, which is a massive influence on the project. And while you're at it, you have a company in your, you know, in your hand now that's worth $1.6 billion, according to the Silicon Valley world. So you got your $1.6 billion that you spent over there. For another $100 million, you acquire a handful of consulting companies and you acquihire a bunch of people. So now you've got developers familiar with WordPress. You've got people that you can apply your enterprise sales force to. You can put this influence in. So all of a sudden, for not that much money, you have the capability to influence a huge part of the web and then take that and package it as a, this is something we offer, and turn it into the type of product that you can create licensing and development agreements and all sorts of stuff to help people manage web technologies that maybe you can pitch in a way that Microsoft pitches some of their other platforms.
I think what would happen, I think...
the community would leave in droves.
pretty much. Like, I think it would just collapse around you. The apparent strength that WordPress has is not the zip file that you download from WordPress.org.
Like, what? That's
frankly a pile of garbage.
Not the code.
it's everything around, everything else around it. It's kind of like, let's say something happened with Twitter, right? Where, and I know that we may think this
something is happening with Twitter.
With their
API. Stock's worth $14 a share.
Let's say somebody buys Twitter and says, you're now going to have to pay 10 cents per tweet and whatever. It's, I don't know. What I'm saying is, like, it's not, people will move from Twitter to another platform in droves if something else gets that network effect, and no one would care at all. It would just, like, you're, by acquiring Twitter, you're not acquiring all of Twitter's users, I would say. Like, they could be gone just as easy. And I feel like WordPress is kind of the same thing. If WordPress starts going downhill in terms of it doesn't keep up with the times, that 25% of the web is probably going to be gone in, like, 5 years' time. So I think it's quite fragile. And, like, that hostile takeover approach would probably suck for everybody else. But I don't think that... it would be valuable for a company to do that. I think it would fall down around them.
So it's a stupid enough move that maybe Yahoo would do it.
You never know.
I'm going to have to make a note that just people that just want a productive conversation should just stop at the 15-minute mark.
If you're shouting in your head about how ridiculous this is.
This is the type of conversation we would have after, like, 3 beers at a conference, just screwing around. So welcome to the conference after party, y'all. So WordPress is a good tool for the enterprise, but it seems like we're actually agreeing that it seems unlikely for WordPress to be the central part of a whole lot of big companies' stack.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just I had a quick other thought, which maybe frames this, which is if you look at Linux and Unix compared to Unix before it, compared to all the Microsoft stuff, it's fairly hard to make a case that the Microsoft stuff is better. but the Linux Foundation does do a pretty good job, right? They're at this point very used, but
it doesn't have the same clout that Microsoft still does, because they're not, they don't have all of those salespeople again to get them being used in every enterprise server stuff. Like Linux is used on a huge amount of the web for the web servers, but that's broadly speaking, you know, smaller stuff. When you're talking about the whole ecosystem of .NET, Microsoft providing SLAs behind it, providing training, all of that kind of stuff. That might be just a good parallel to kind of what we're hoping that WordPress can become. And Linux is completely, incredibly popular in terms of the amount of devices it's used on, but it still doesn't have a very strong amount of clout behind it. It's just people using it incidentally. And I think that's probably the best WordPress can hope for.
Yeah, so it just means that the value of the platform is not the platform itself. Like, it's not the code
right.
itself, it's the stuff around it, and you can't just hijack that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I'd be interested just to see it play out, though.
Honestly, would be terrified if something like that happened, because it would make me sad, because I do agree with you, like, the whole thing would probably fold around itself or collapse pretty quickly if someone tried to do that.
Fork time. WordPress fork time.
Yep, that's why it's open source.
On the influence, I'm not... because you could also attempt to do it by, just try and have so much influence alongside Automatic and all the other companies which currently have influence and see if you could become the majority influencer that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually think that is possible with Matt, and I think that's why he is in position of dictator, really, because he doesn't want that to be able to happen one way or the other. You could have a lot of influence that was in line with WordPress, so you could be responsible for contributing to the direction of WordPress, but I don't think you're going to make it do a 90-degree shift.
Cool.
Enterprise is done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this is actually a fun little exercise because, you know, we talk a lot about, like, WordPress in the enterprise and, you know, reasons for WordPress in the enterprise. Literally, that was a blog post that I think Pantheon did this week. And it's worth establishing differences between huge companies, multi-billion dollar companies, or even, you know, massive publishing companies versus just regular old companies where WordPress can truly be their platform, but they don't, like, their platform is not their value. Their platform is a tool for their other business. That's
right.
That's where WordPress can truly be most effective.
Yeah.
Most impactful.
Yeah. Right. Right. And maybe that is, you know, WordPress winning at the enterprise when it's just used when it fits the job, and that's also fine. That kind of big takeover of WordPress is sweeping through the enterprise and used for everything probably is not realistic.
Yeah. Yep. So WordPress dominates the long tail, and we should be happy with that. Oh, God. I feel like somebody's gonna just comment on this and be like, "What were y'all smoking during this podcast?" That's okay.
It's all right. It's only my company on the line. So it's
not yeah, you're gonna have a call later today about WordPress and the enterprise. And
I had one this morning.
So. Sounds good. Well, sorry, you're gonna lose that job.
It's all right. Hopefully the Post Days podcast isn't that popular.
Yeah, I don't think anybody from y'all's client base is really listening to it.
Maybe we need to pivot into the Enterprise WordPress podcast.
The Enterprise podcast. You don't say WordPress. It's
WordPress. It's an implementation detail.
Yeah, it's just back there. I should, on a closing note, one of the best articles I've ever read about just like the mess that is... big businesses deciding stuff is Paul Ford wrote an article called What is Code? And it was the entire issue of Bloomberg's Business Week magazine 1 week in 2015. It was June 2015.
Oh, I remember this. This was a huge read.
Oh, huge. It's like 30,000 words. And it was so good. So, so good. And it kind of goes into the mindset of people in a big organization and like what they think about. And it's all kind of from the perspective of a mid-level manager in a taupe blazer. I like that they call it. He's in a taupe blazer. But it's all from that person's perspective. And it's just such a good read. It's so informative. And Paul Ford has incredible insight into kind of all aspects of this, like the big company perspective, the consulting perspective. He just started a consulting agency again. And it's just such a good article. Must read. I linked it up in the show notes.
There we go.
With that, let's get off of this thing. It's been over an hour. So where should people find you and berate you about your enterprise opinions?
Twitter is probably the best
Tom way. Wilmot, Tom Wilmot?
Yeah, yeah, at Tom Wilmot on Twitter. Joe_Hoyle on Twitter, or... I should do a quick shout out, actually.
Do it.
And that is if you, I know that I need to get the REST API into this. If you need any REST API assistance, come to the Core REST API channel on Slack because we're in there a lot. So I've had a few people on that I've seen on Twitter that have troubles, and you should just come and talk to us.
You know, we almost made it the whole podcast without saying REST API. And,
oh, no, I said it early on. It's okay.
Well, it should, you know, it really should be a part of a conversation with WordPress and the enterprise, but we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, we're REST API'd out for several.
Yeah, I honestly wanted to completely avoid it.
Maybe we'll chop this part.
Yeah. No, go talk to Joe about the REST API. He'd love to talk to you. And you can find me at Krogsgaard and go to poststatus.com for all your WordPress needs.
All right.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks.